about 11 days away from Tisha B'Av. So let's learn some of the Gemaras in Gittin that happened to come up now during the Daf Yomi. Okay, so the Gemara talks about the stories that torpedo the second Beis HaMikdash in particular. It sounds like the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara introduces them in Gittin. It's on Daf Nun Hamid Beis. If you're looking for something nice to learn during Tisha B'Av, these are Gemaras that very often people learn. They're known as the Kamsa Bar Kamsa section, because that's the first story, but there are many, many stories about why we went to Golos. Again, these are not the reasons we went to Golos. This is a final nail in the coffin. These are microcosms of what was happening, as if this was the reason we went to Golos. The Gemara introduces this on Daf Nun Hamid Beis. Ashri Adam Mefachei Tamid Umaksha Libo Yipal Bara. So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk from Tehillim, it's always good, it's always good to be cautious, not to be afraid, you don't want to live in fear. And from these stories, it sounds like the Jews were a little bit too overconfident, they weren't cautious enough. And that happens, right, when we're in Golos, we're very frightened, because we don't have our own sovereignty, our own army, our own police force, so we're always on the run, we're always frightened. When we live in Israel with sovereignty, we're sometimes a little bit too overconfident. You see that in the first Beis HaMikdash in particular, where they, one of the sins of the first Beis HaMikdash is a pasuk in, where is it? It's in Yirmiyah. In other words, they all started screaming, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. Like, we're not going to lose, we have the Heichal Hashem. Three times the word Heichal is repeated in a row. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. It's Yirmiyah, Chav Zayin, I think. So, when we live in Eretz Yisrael, and especially when there are Nisim, you get a little too overconfident. And even though in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Nisim had subsided, they're still too overconfident. And you think about that today a little bit, what parts of Israeli society, especially the parts of Israeli society that feel this is part of Gula, sometimes act a little bit too brashly and overconfidently. Well, Hashem's on our side, and Hashem will protect us, and we don't have to worry about diplomacy and international concerns and societal concerns. We just do what we want because HaKadosh Baruch is always there, and He has our back. So this is the general title, the general headlines for this section in Gittin. Ashri Adam Mefached Tamid. It's better to always be a little cautious. Now, what's the first story? Well, we all know the first story. I'll repeat it again. There was a man named Kamsa, and his son, probably his son, was Bar Kamsa. We don't really know if they were biologically related, but one was called Kamsa, one was called Bar Kamsa. And there was a third party who was very close with Kamsa, but really disliked Bar Kamsa. Okay, you're allowed to dislike people. It's not Isser to dislike people. It's an Isser to treat them inappropriately. And this person who made a wedding or an event, he treated Bar Kamsa inappropriately. What happened? He sent a messenger to invite Kamsa, sent a WhatsApp to Kamsa, to invite him to his suitor because he liked Kamsa. Unfortunately, he typed in Bar Kamsa. Again, it wasn't a WhatsApp, it was a messenger. A messenger invited the wrong person, Bar Kamsa, to the suitor. So when the host came and he saw his hated rival at the suitor, he got really irate, really angry, really furious. So he wanted to kick him out, and basically, Bar Kamsa, who didn't want to be embarrassed, said, "You know what? I'll pay for my food for my meal. Just don't embarrass me. Just stop." And then the host was so angry, was so furious, and so indignant. He says, "No, no, you have to leave." He says, "I'll pay for half the meal." That's Bar Kamsa's offer to avoid any shame. He says, "No, no, no, leave." He says, "I'll pay for the entire meal." Now you start to see how toxic anger and hatred can be. Could you imagine, I mean, if my hated enemy came to my wedding, said they're going to pay for my child's wedding, I'd say, please, sit on the dais. I mean, I could save myself, you know, look, how much a wedding costs in America? $100,000, $120,000, someone came to the wedding and offered to write a check right there for the wedding? So you live with it for a couple hours. Let the guy have a couple, sweet and sour chicken or chopped liver or something. I don't know what they're serving these days at weddings. But you see how self-destructive and illogical hatred is. And you see it, of course, with anti-Semitism, hatred of the Jews. It unites people who would otherwise be enemies, Shiites and Sunnis and Shiites and white supremacists and bleeding-heart liberals. You see how dangerous hatred is. Once you fall into the trap of hatred, you lose all logic, all common sense, this is like a great offer. Pay for my son's meal, so he saves a couple hours. Okay, now, next part of the story is the Rabbanon didn't say anything. The Rabbanon were there. Where it says the Rabbanon were at this wedding, and they didn't say anything. The question is, why didn't they say anything? Is it their fault? It seems as if in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash also, but certainly the first Beis HaMikdash, one of the collapses were they started to dislike in Tochacha, and moral chastisement and moral reproving. It's just, remember, they killed Nevi'im in the first base of Mikdash. They killed Uriah. They killed Zechariah, not the Zechariah we know, but a different Zechariah. They arrested Yirmiyah, and they would have were about to kill Yirmiyah before he was saved by some foreign king that had saved him from the gallows or from, you know, this death row. So at some point, they became so brash and so uncaring that they didn't just close their ears to Tehocha, but they actually started to chase the Nevi'im and to harass the Nevi'im. And Yirmiyah is terrified when Hashem sends him to become a Navi in the beginning of Yirmiyah. He says, I don't want to do this, Hashem. They're going to stone me. They're going to tune me up a little bit. And Hashem has to encourage him. I'll be there. I'll protect you. This is the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. You have less of that record in the second base of Mikdash because you don't have Nevi'im. Right? There's no Nevuah in the second base of Mikdash towards the middle and end point. But you do have Chachamim, and you sense this tension between the Chachamim and the thugs, the Brionim. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in order to conduct his diplomacy, had to be smuggled out of Yerushalayim as if he were dead in a coffin. Very famous story of Yochanan ben Zakkai, because they wouldn't have allowed him to leave otherwise. So the Rambam, when he writes, one of the blockers of tshuva is someone that's soniata tochacha. So if you dislike tochacha, and you dislike the people who give tochacha. That's why it's important in life to try to find people who give tochacha, who aren't afraid to give tochacha, and people who make you feel uncomfortable with giving tochacha. Unfortunately, I told you once a story, it's a cute story about a rabbi who began his sermon in shul by flipping the middle finger of the entire audience. Everyone was aghast and appalled and fainting and hyperventilating. And finally, when all the ruckus died down, he says, look at you. I hold up my tefillin finger, which is the holiest finger that a Jew has, and look at the associations you make because of all the schmutz that has creeped in from the surrounding Christian culture. And he blasted them with a scathing, scathing sermon. So the story continues that the next day he was called into the office and he was fired. But the joke is he wasn't fired for giving the finger, he was fired for giving mussar. Who are you? You're the rabbi. You're not supposed to give mussar. You're supposed to talk about politics. You're supposed to talk about sports. You're supposed to give a bracha to the bar mitzvah boy. You're supposed to mention the sisterhood meeting. You're not supposed to give tochacha. So sometimes people are afraid to get in other people's faces, and sometimes people just don't want to listen. So if they don't listen, obviously it's no purpose in just beating your head against the wall. But so the Chachamim probably were terrified to say anything at that wedding. Maybe this was a wealthy person, this host who Bar Kamsa out of the wedding. So the Chachamim weren't Moche. And because of that, so Bar Kamsa said, here's another interesting layer of the story, Bar Kamsa, the offended party, said, oh, the reason the Chachamim didn't say anything, Kanichale, they probably agree with the host, they're probably on his side. So as I told you earlier last week, don't climb into people's heads, don't assume things. He didn't bother to go ask the Chachamim, like, oh, are you on the side of this host that just kicked me out of the party? They probably would have said, no, of course not, but we had nothing to do. What are we supposed to do? We're going to get our own heads chopped off. It's Bar Kamsa is a thug. He's going to chase us. But Bar Kamsa, not Kamsa, this host. So Bar Kamsa, the offended party, was so irate that he just assumed that the Chachamim agreed with this policy to embarrass him in public and to shame him in public, and because of that he became angry. So now you see the toxic effects of anger, that one person's anger rolls over to the other person's anger. So the host was so angry that he kicked Bar Kamsa out of the wedding without allowing Bar Kamsa to write him a $100,000 check. Now Bar Kamsa was so irate that he says, you know what, if the Chachamim agree with the host in shaming me, then I'm going to sabotage this entire base on Mikdash and the entire Yerushalayim. So he brought down Yerushalayim. And this is just one of the straws that broke the camel's back. What did he do? He went to the Caesar, to the Roman Caesar, and he said, the Jews don't respect you. How do you know? If you send the carbon, they probably won't accept the carbon. So Caesar said, okay, I'll try. And he sent a regular animal. And this Bar Kamsa, who happened to be a Talmid Chacham, because he knew the halachas, he made slight imperfections in the animal that would qualify as a mum and disqualify it for a carbon, but the Caesar would have noticed. So the Caesar would think, hey, this is a great carbon, and the Jews are rejecting it, but the Jews who knew the halacha would reject it, right? If he chopped off the animal's leg, then the Caesar would know you yourself are subverting the carbon. But he made these small imperfections, probably in the eyes, the Gemara says, according to another day, he made in the lips. So the Caesar thought he was sending a perfect carbon, a grade A carbon. When it finally arrived in the base of Mikdash, they checked the eyes, and the eyes had a mum, or they checked the lips, and the lips had a mum, so they couldn't accept the carbon. Now, at that point, the discussion broke out in the base of Mikdash. Wait a second. I know that al pi halacha, we can't accept the carbon, but this is pikuach nefesh. And maybe we should accept the carbon, because if we don't, we'll infuriate and anger the Caesar, and then we'll wreak havoc upon the base of Mikdash. And a member of Zechariah ben Afkilos is one of the residing Talmidei Chachamim, says, no, we can't take the carbon. And they said, well, maybe let's kill this Bar Kamsa before he goes back and rats us out, because you have an ability to kill him. He's a Mard B'malchus. And it's Chayr ben Afkila said, no, we can't leave him alone. And the Gemara concludes the story by saying the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkilos was the third ingredient of this whole explosion. It's like a cocktail. It was A, the anger of the host, B, the resentment and the pride of Bar Kamsa, and three, this was Chayr ben Afkilos, who could have saved the day by not being such an anav. What do you mean he shouldn't have been such an anav? The answer is, he should have been more courageous in understanding this was a Hara Shah, and this is called for unique circumstance. So, halacha, the halacha was that you can't bring that carbon because it's pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. The entire nation is going to be killed, so you bring the carbon. In the Magen Avraham, he actually has a bigger heter kula, but it takes a certain degree of courage to say, to give a heter. And that's just to follow the classic halachic situation, and you're afraid to give a heter because what are they going to say about you? And what Zechariah ben Afkilos is probably afraid of, if I give a heter, people accuse me of being a liberal, they accuse me of being, who knows what they'll say about me. And because of that fear, well, today's Rav Ami tells Yartzeit, I'll talk about it a little bit later when I speak after Mincha, one of the traits he taught me is not to be afraid of people, to have courage, I don't mean courage physically and militarily, but not to be afraid to say things that maybe are unpopular because they have to be heard. Say it in a way, of course, that don't rub people the wrong way, but to voice ideas and to offer opinions that are right, even though they're not popular. And in this case, it was Chayr ben Afkilos probably failed in that area. Because the right answer was bring the carbon. Or you even kill Bar Kamsa. The wrong answer was let's just play it safe. And the play it safe option here, wreck the base of Mikdash. Okay, so this is the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It's in Gittin Nun Hamid Beis. I just gave you some of the highlights of the story. Okay? We'll read a different story every day, about 6 or 7 stories. Okay? Welcome. Nice Shabbos, huh?